We're going to begin here with the Mishnah on the Lamed Gimel Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, "Bechor shach zodam afilu meit emi kizin lo dam divir Rabbi Yehuda." Bechor that has some sort of cyst of blood or pocket of blood that needs to be relieved by bloodletting, and
if you let the blood over here, there's a possibility that you could create a mum. It's not definite, it's not for sure, but at least there's a possibility you could create a mum, which is a sword to put a mum into a bechor.
Yehuda says you're not allowed to deal with this bechor, you're not allowed to treat this bechor. You can let the blood as long as you don't create a mum in this animal. And if you did make a mum in it while you were doing the letting, or is that that you can't shech this animal based on that mum? Shimon says you can do whatever you want. Even if you make a mum in it, you can be bloodlet over here. The Gemara will discuss in a second what's the shita of Rabbi Shimon, but right now Rashi points out, shita of Rabbi Shimon is not Rashi mitkaven. You have no intention to make the mum over here. Your whole intention here is to bloodlet the animal. So if you're letting the blood of the animal, that has nothing to do with the mum that might be created by it, and therefore it's Darshan Mitkabein, which we know that Rabbi Shimon is Matir and other places in Sha'as, Tan Rabbanan. So now we have a Braita that has our Mishnah, but a couple more opinions around it, which is Bechor. Shachzo Dam, Mikizin Lo Et Adam. A Bechor that has some sort of embolism of blood, some sort of pocket of blood that needs to be relieved. Mikizin Lo Et Adam, but Makom Shein So B'Mum. You're allowed to do this as long as you don't make a mum. And not allowed to do it in a place where you will make a mum, divi Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is slightly different than the Chachamim in our Mishnah. The Chachamim in our Mishnah say he shouldn't make do it in a place where he's going to make a mum. But if he doesn't, it creates a mum, he's not a shechted. Here Rabbi Meir says it's a definitive statement, which is if it's going to make a mum, you can't do it. If it won't make a mum, then you're allowed to do it. Chachamim Armim, similar to the Chachamim in our Mishnah. You can even do it in a place where it makes a mum, just you're not allowed to do shechita based on that mum. Shimon Omer, af mishkat, alo to mum. Rabbi Shimon says you can do it, and you can check the animal, the bechor, with that mum, because it's davar she'enu mitkaven. And then Rabbi Yehuda will be the equivalent of the Tanakam of our Mishnah, which is, Rabbi Omer, if you'll mate, emi kizin lo et adam. Even if he's gonna die from this embolism, from this blood pocket, you can't be make keys for him. So matni le, Rabbi Elazar the Brei. Rabbi Elazar was teaching this to his son, va'amri le, Rabbi Chiya the Brei. Just like the machloket here is in Bechor between these opinions, it's similar to a machloket that we have by a barrel of truma, pitcher of truma. That's not chavit shel truma. If you have a barrel pitcher of truma, shenolod ba safek truma, and it has now a safek truma, and we don't know what you can do with it now. Safek truma creates a problem for you. If it's tohor, you can consume it, you can eat it. If it's tamei, you can use it either to be mezaleif. If it's yayin, you can use it for be mezaleif. If it's something that can be burnt, you can burn it. But until you know for sure that it's tameh, you can't burn it. Until you know it's for sure it's tahor, you can't eat it. So this is a fake tuma. Basically, it makes the tuma no man's land. It can't do anything with it. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, imaita b'makom atorfa, yenichena b'makom atzna. It's in a place where it's open or exposed to the possibility of having tuma come onto it. He should cover, move it into a place that is protected. In time of Gula, if it was uncovered, yichasena, you should cover it. Meaning that you're not allowed to here be mitameh this tuma intentionally. Rabbi Shua Meri, if it was a place that was protected, you should put it out in a place that is exposed. If it was covered, yigalena, you should open it up. We'd rather it becomes tameh then, because then we could do something with it. Rabbi Gula says, don't change the status quo, it should remain like it is. So now the Gemara is explaining what's the lineup here. Rabbi Meir, in our Mishnah, who says that you can only do it when there is no mum. But if there is a mum, you can't do it. He's kit Rabbi Eliezer. He's like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says you're not allowed to create new tumah here. You can't change, you can't force this to be tumah. We have to protect whatever is existing here. Same way Rabbi Meir says in our Mishnah, you can't make a new mum in the animal, but you can't relieve it from the dam that it has there as long as you're not making a mum. So that'll be like Rabbi Eliezer. Vira bonon. The Rabban in our mission say you can do whatever you need to do in order to let out the blood. You just can't be somech on that mum. There, Rabbi Yehoshua. Yehoshua says you can expose it. You can do whatever you want in terms of letting it become tameh. So to over here, the Chachamim say you can do whatever you need to do to get rid of this blood. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't touch the animal even if it dies. And Rabbi Gamliel says you can't touch the chavit. You leave it at status quo. Rabbi says, Mimai. This lineup doesn't seem to be so perfect, because Dilma Adkan lo kamar Rabbi Meir. The only reason Rabbi Meir here in our Mishnah says Atam Dekavi Biyadayim over here is making a mum biyadayim when he goes to bloodlet, it's doing biyadayim. Avahocha by Truma de Groma. Maybe because over there it's only grumma. You're not mitame the item. You're just leaving it exposed. Okay, Rabbi Yeshua severely. Maybe you're old like Rabbi Yeshua, who says that it has to be consistent between Bechor and Truma, because by Bechor it's a masiv yadayim, it's an active, whereas by Truma it's only a din in grumma of causation. Vadka milkama Rabbi Eliezer, otam Rabbi Eliezer says that there ela shema yavo Eliyahu v'itarena. We're going to see this later in the sugya, that the shita of Rabbi Eliezer is premised on the fact that we don't want you to be mitameit, because Eliyahu Navi can show up any day and tell us this is tahor. So then you could possibly be mitamei or cause tuma to something that Eliyahu Navi could clear up for us. But over here, of ahacha by bechor, di shavik lei mait, if you do nothing here, it's going to die. In the case of tuma, if you leave and do nothing, it'll remain in status of safek, and maybe Eliyahu will come and be mitaret. By bechor, you can't say that. If you leave it, it will die. There's no, if you just leave it around, if you're passive over there, there will be serious repercussions. So then maybe over there, by bechor, rabbanan sfirle. He holds like the rabbanan, that he could make a mum in order to bloodlet the animal. Vadkan lo kami rabbanan hocho. Over here, the rabbanan only say, de'ish shavikle mayit. By the Bechor, the reason that they say it's okay is because if you leave it alone, it's going to die. Avahatam by Truma, Shemi Avoli, Alvi Terenu, Rabbi Eliezer's filu. Maybe by Truma, they'll hold like Rabbi Eliezer, because there is a solution. There is a possible outcome that will be beneficial, which is that Eliyahu will come and be Mitaharit. So maybe there they would say, don't do it. Don't take action. Don't cause Truma. And again, Vadkan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda Hocha, Rabbi Yehuda over here, who says, by our Mishnah, by Bechorot, Tukavi Biyadayim. He says, be passive, leave everything in the status quo, even if the animal dies, because we don't want you actively dealing with the Bechor. V'hotam, by the case of Truma de Grama, that is only a causation, Rabbi Yeshua Sfirle, maybe he says, you don't have to leave it in the status quo, you can change it. V'adkalam, Rabbi Gamliel, Hotam, Rabbi Gamliel, says, leave it in the status quo by Truma, he says it over there, the Shema Yavo Eliyahu V'Tarena, because of this principle of Shema Yavo Eliyahu. So therefore, leave the status quo, because maybe Eliyahu Navi will come and tell us what to do. Aval Hocha, by the case of Bechor, Tishavik Le'mayit, if he leaves it alone, it's going to die. He'll hold like the Rabbanan that you can't take action. So that's first thing. Your logic doesn't hold up. It's not necessarily consistent. The logic that applies by Bechor is not consistent in Truma. The logic that applies in Truma is not necessarily consistent in Bechor. So to parallel their positions is not correct, because you could hold up one position in Bechor and have an alternate position by Truma, and it's not a stira, because you can come up with different reasons in each case. So that's the first rejection. The second rejection is that in every place it has to do with the psukim, the drush on the psukim. And that's what the Gemara is going to show now, is that our machloket here in Bechor is based on a drush of the psukim. The machloket in Truma based on a drush on the psukim. And then the Gemara is going to bring an additional item, but it's also a similar questions about drushot in the psukim. Everybody agrees with mechametz achar mechametz shuchayav. When it comes to the making of a mincha, by mincha is not allowed to become chametz. If you have two people participating in making the mincha that results in chametz, one of them puts the water into the dough and allows it to rise, and then the other person bakes the chametz, they're both mechayav. When it comes to the din of minachot, of not allowing minachot to become chametz, both of them will be culpable. Dichtev lo te'afeh chametz ve'lo te'aseh. It says, do not bake chametz, ve'lo te'aseh, do not make it. Well, why does it specify lo te'afeh? Lo te'afeh is a subset, a subcategory of lo te'aseh. If you can't make chametz, obviously you can't bake the chametz. So why is it teach you lo te'afeh? Lo te'afeh comes to teach you that any ma'aseh, any complete action within the making of the mincha, you will be chayav for chametz. And that means that even if someone, one person did the lisha, did the kneading, and one person did the baking, each one of them will be chayav, even though the first one made the chametz. The second one bakes it, who dealt with the chametz, will also be chayav. So that's one. We know that from the pasuk. Number two, misarei sachar misarei shu chayav. Someone castrates an animal, and then another person comes and extends that castration. We'll explain that in a second. Shu chayav. Everybody agrees that you chayav. Dichtiv. Ma'och, v'katot, v'nitok, v'karut. Pasuk lays out for you a number of ways to castrate an animal. A mum in an animal. These are mumim, that animal is lacking the ability to reproduce. That is either because ma'och, he's crushed, his testicles are crushed. V'katot. Rashi said these are different levels of crushing. Ma'och is a lighter crushing. Katut means crushed the gamre. Notek is that he severs it completely. Correct means that it's severed, but it still remains there. So for instance, in Natuka is that he takes the testicles or the sac and he takes it off completely. Whereas Karut is where he severs the testicles, but they remain in the sac. So Gemara says, Ima Koreit Chayav, in a case where he does less, all he does is severs the testicles, but they remain there, he's Chayav. Alano take local shkain, there where he removes the sack completely. He completely castrates the animal. There shouldn't surely be chayav. Why does the pasuk tell me no take and karut? Elavi no take achar koreit shu chayav. That's coming to teach you that if the first person only severed the testicles and the second one comes in, removes them entirely, removes the sack and everything, he will also be chayav. Because that's misares achar misares. That's someone who did it further or extended the castration to something more severe or more complete. And therefore you're going to be chayav. And that's because the pasuk unnecessarily told us about both the more severe and the less severe. If you're chayav and the less severe, what do you need to tell me about the more severe? That's what the Gemara comes to teach you. That's what the pasuk's teaching us, that even after someone did the less severe and then followed it up with the more severe action, both of you are chayav. Lo nechukko, where's their machloket, the bumatil mum, bebal mum. This is first who puts a mum into a baal mum already. And that's going to be our mission. We're going to explain this in a second. So the way the Gemara has explained to us is that there are two places where everybody agrees that if you do the same action twice, or you're involved in the same process twice, the second person is chayav. So in the case of the mincha, where the first person created chametz, the second one who interacts with that chametz is also chayav. By the case of castration, by misares, the first one who castrates is chayav, the second one who extends that castration, makes it more severe, or more complete, he's also chayav. Over here, we have a baal mum, a bechor baal mum. Why is it baal mum? Ein lecha mum gedola mizu, that it has this embolism of blood, or it has this pocket of blood that's going to cause it to die. That's a mum. Now you're going to be going to be matil mum in the bechor to relieve that mum. So that's a question. This is a mum achar mum. And that's what they're arguing about over here. The Rav Meir sabar kol mum lo yebo. Rav Meir says, the pasuk says, kol mum lo yebo. Don't put any mum into it. Kol means any type of mum, including where it's a mum achar mum. Rabbanan sabar, the beginning of the pasuk says, tamim yele ratzon. That when is it that you can't put any mum in? Ben tamim yele ratzon. If the resultant behema, had you not put a mum in it, would have been good for the mizbeach, then you're not allowed to put in a mum. But if the resultant behema would not have been roi the mizbeach anyway, then you can put a mum in. And that's our case here. This behema is not roi the mizbeach because it has a mum in it. It already has this embolism, the blood, the clot, whatever it has in it. That issue would prevent it from going to mizbeach. So in that animal, it's not tamim yele ratzon. Therefore, there's no restriction against putting a mum in it. So a baal mum, you can put a mum into. On the other hand, a tamim, you can't put a mum into. That's the way the Rabbanan read it. Rav Meir says, no, it says, kol mum bo, any mum is restricted. Rashi, on the top of the next amud, explains Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi position, savarki Rabbi Meir. He holds like Rabbi Meir that it says, kol mum. Umiyo, gazar makom she'eno simbo mum, auto makom sho simbo mum. He has this gzeira in place that Rabbi Meir only says it's a problem when you put a mum into it. But if you don't put a mum into it, Rabbi Meir says, go ahead. Rabbi Yehuda says, I can't do that, it's too subjective. I let people do it when there is no mum being placed into it. They're going to do it even when there is a mum into it. So I say also the gamre. So Rabbi Yehuda is a derivative of Rabbi Meir.
Now Tosafot would ask, if the blood embolism or clot is considered a mum, why can't we check the animal on that mum? A baal mum is nitar by bechor. So Tosafot says he thinks there must be a gzeret chachamim not to check the animal based on the blood clot, even though they're classifying it as a mum, because it's not an obvious or external mum that people would understand. If you allow people to check the animal based on these blood clots, then they would also come to shech them as a tam, because it looks no different than a tam. So based on that, takana chachamim, you need an additional mum. And that's the question over here of being matil a mum in something that is already a baal mum.
Now the Gemara asks Rabbi Meir, hay tamim yud ratzon may ovile. What is he going to do with tamim yud ratzon? He has that problem also. Where it says, the me'ute baal mum yikaro. That comes to exclude a case where he's a baal mum from the start. Not an animal got a mum after a time, because that was once a tamim yud ratzon. But over here it was never tamim yud ratzon, because it never had a status while it was alive that it could have gone on the mizbeach. So it comes to exclude that case. Baal mum yikaro, pshita. Baal mum yikaro is simple. Dikla ba'amo. It's a piece of wood. It's a palm tree. It's not ever anything that was kadosh. So ella, the me'ute psule amukdashim lachar pidjonan. Comes to exclude psulim mikdashim after they've been redeemed. Sakadat, I mean, I would have thought, hova sire bi gizela voda. I would have thought, just like a psulim mikdashim are only allowed to be eaten, because you can't do gizela, you can't shear them, you can't do work with them. They're only mi'ad to be eaten. So I would thought, mumim nami litzarsre. I would think, just like it has all those restrictions, I'll have a restriction of placing a mum in it. Not that the mum will do anything for you, because it already has a mum, because it's been redeemed based on that mum. But you can't, maybe you can't put an additional mum into this animal. So kamash malanda, that's not the case. This is a din by bechor. It's a din by something that's tamim yule ratzon, something that was once ro'oy the mizbeach. But here, by the Psulei Mikdashim, which is no longer Tamim Miyula Ratzon, there we're going to say, no din of mum. It's only a din by Bechor, not a din over here. So that's what Rabbi Meir does with that pasuk of Tamim Miyula Ratzon. Rabbanan nami aktiv kol mum lo yebo. What do they do with the pasuk of kol mum? So that Gemara says, the grama hu da'ate. That is to come to restrict you from doing something big grama. Not only are you restricted from putting a mum into Bechor, but yadayim, you're also restricted from putting a mum into Bechor, ayude grama. De Tanya, we have a bright mum lo yebo. What does it mean, mum lo yebo? In the elo shelo yitem bo mum. That you can't physically, actively place a mum into the Bechor. Menayim shelo yavid vela upatsei kvenechen ala ozen. How do I know here that you can't take pressed figs or dough and place it on the ear of the Bechor? Because what's going to happen? Another animal is going to come and bite it and eat it. So they're going to bite his ear and cause a mum in it. A dog will come, and he'll eat it, and he'll cause a mum in the Bechor. It's a echad mum, echad kol mum. It doesn't matter whether it's a mum that you're actively doing or a kol mum. Any way you create the mum, whether it's through grumo or whether it's through direct action, you're restricted from placing a mum into a Bechor. So that's what they use the word kol mum for. Now the Gemara says, Hocha b'kray plige. Also over here, they're arguing in Pesukim. So what we explained so far is, Chimutz by Menachot, no machloket. Misareis, achar misareis, no machloket. Machloket by Bechor we have from the Pesukim. Whether a mum after a baal mum is a problem. Rabbi Meir says yes, Chamim say no. Now by Chuma, they're also arguing about the Pasuk. Tam Rav Yehuda Meshmo, v'chein amar Reish Lakish, v'chein amar Rav Nachman, amar Rav Ravua, v'ani hinei netati lechad mishmeret trumotai. So mishmeret means that you have to guard it. Trumotai is in plural. So Rabbi Lezer Savar b'shtei trumota kaduv medaber. Pasuk talking about two different types of Chuma. Achat Chuma Teura. One is Tahor Chuma that you have to protect from incoming Tamei. V'achat Chuma Tmuya. And the other one is Chuma that is Tameya Misafek. There you also have a requirement to guard it because the word Trumotai is in plural. So to protect it from incoming Tamei, you have to protect Tahor Chuma from incoming Tamei. You have to also protect Safek Truma. Safek's not in the Truma, it's real Truma, but Safek Tumantara in Truma. You have to protect it from coming to me, even though now it's a Safek that it's Tamea. Vamar Rachmana of the Le Shimor. So both of the Trumotai in plural, you have to do a Shimor for. Yehuda Truma Tiktiv. It says, we pronounce it Trumotai, which is in the plural, but it really says Trumati, which is in the singular. The Ktiv is in the singular. The Kri is in the plural. Where it says, the Memro, the Rabbi Elezer, Sarai Yeshleim, the Mikra. It sounds like from this, the Rabbi Elezer holds that we based our drashot on the way the word is read, not on the way that it is written. Is that really true? Rimini, we have a case by an Ama HaIvriya, a father who sells his daughter to someone else. Over there it says, Bivigdoba. Bivigdoba. Kevan Shipiresh Talito Ala, Shuv Eno Rashai La Mochra. So the Tanakama, Rabbi Akiva says that based on the reading of the pasuk is bivigdoba. Bivigdo means beged. As soon as he puts his talit on her, he's not allowed to sell her anymore. That means that if he either sold his daughter as an amayivriya or he married his daughter off, he is not allowed then to have a second chance. If she gets divorced or she somehow comes back to her father's house, she's an almanah or divorced, he does not have a right to sell her the second time. That's whether the father sold his namavia, or whether the father married her off. So you read the word here as big dough. Whereas, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Kevin Shibagadba, Shuvani Rashaida Mochra. He's not reading it bivigdoba. Bivigdo meaning beged, he's reading it bivagad. Bivagdoba, because it has no nikudot in there, therefore you'd read it as bagad, because it doesn't have a yud in there. So bagad means to reject, revolt, rebel, reject. So over here, bagad means only if he did something that was a begida, which is, he sold her as an amai v'riyah. He marries her off. That's the normal course of what you do with a daughter. So if he marries her off, he will have the right, if she returns to the house, to marry off again. Whereas, if he sold her as an amai v'riyah, he'll lose that right to sell her again or to marry off again. So Rabbi Eliezer, you see, says that we go by em la misoret, the way the word is written. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is explaining the way the word is pronounced. So in one place, we have Rabbi Elazar explaining by Truma the way the word is pronounced, which is Im LaMikra. Over here, by the case of Ama Ivriya, there we say Bivigdoba, and he's saying, no, it's written Bivagdo. And that is based on the Im LaMasoret, the way it's written in the Torah. So Rabbi Elazar is inconsistent in the application of this principle of whether it's Im LaMikra or Im LaMasoret. Elohocha, Bahaka Miflige. So we're going to amend what we think the machloket is by truma. Rabbi Yeshua savar haru yalocha shemor. Shein ru locha lo tishmor. The only thing you have to do shmiran is something that you can use or that you can utilize. Something that you can't utilize, you don't have to do shmiran. Rabbi Lezer hanami ru'yahi. This is ru'yahi. Even though now it's a safek tuma and you can't do anything, you can't treat it like tahor and eat it, you can't treat it like tamei and be mezalefit or burn it, there's no utility to you. He says, yes, there is, because shema yavo yilavu v'yitereno. Maybe Eliyahu Navi will come, maybe Mitaret, and it will have utility to you. So you can't say there is no utility, you don't know, because you don't know when Eliyahu Navi is going to come, and he might be Mitaret for you, and that will provide you the utility that you need in order to mechayev you in Shmira. And therefore, Rabbi Lezer says you have to be Shomeret, even though there's no immediate utility to you, because there's a possibility that it could be, if Eliyahu Navi comes. And that's what we were mentioning before in the Gemara, Shema Yavo Eliyahu, this is the explanation of it. So therefore, we drop the explanation of the Drush and the Psukim, based on the Mishnah, by Amma Ivriya, Mishnah and Kiddushin, will base our opinion that Rabbi Lezer holds it's aim limisoret, it's based on the way it's written in the Torah. Rabbi Kiva holds that it's aim limikra, the way that it's read in the Torah, that's the way we'll darshan the words, and that has no application here by Chumah, because the machloket revolves around something else. Not aim limikra, and aim limisoret. Amma Yudah Mashmol, Lachik Rabbi Shimon. Have a Sora of Rabbi Yudah from Shmol, that the Loch is like Rabbi Shimon. Skumatim Flor Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, hi Rabbi Shimon. Which Rabbi Shimon are you saying is the halacha like? Ilem Rabbi Shimon de Matnitan. If you're talking about Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, Ad Hashalo Shmin and Shmol Davrshen Mitkavein Mutar. It's the first time Shmol is telling us that the din is Davrshen Mitkavein is Mutar. We already have this as a Machlokas Rabbi Shmol and Dine Shabbos. We saw this earlier in the Gemara. Vaha Rabbi Chia Barashi Yom Rav Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Chia Barashi in the name of Rav, so Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, who says Davrshen Mitkavein is
Sur.
Rabbi Chanin Barashi Yom Shmol Halacha Rabbi Shimon, that Davrshen Mitkavein is Mutar. Rabbi Chia bar Avin Matni below Gavre, he said it without any additional Mesorah, that Rav said directly, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, the Davrshen Mitkavein is
Asur.
And Rav Shmuel Amar, Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, Shmuel said, Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, the Davrshen Mitkavein is Mutar. So we already have that din from Shmuel, so it can't be that he's telling us about our Mishnah. The reason Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah is matches is the Davrshen Mitkavein. Davrshen Mitkavein, we already know the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon from Shmuel and other places. Why do I need him to tell us over here? Ella, it must be Rabbi Shimon din Braita. Must be Rabbi Shimon on the Braita that says, Afi Shechet Oloto Mum. Our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer Yakiz, Afu Pisho Seba Mum. That's the only thing our Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, he can do that because of the Dami if he makes a Mum. But that's it. Doesn't tell you whether you can shecht on that Mum or not. The Braita says in Rabbi Shimon that he can do that because of the Dam, create the Mum, and then shecht the Bechor on that Mum. So now we're saying the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon in the Braita, even the more expansive form of Rabbi Shimon that says that you can shecht on that Mum. Rabbi Shisha Brei, the Ravidi Matni Law of Hedjo, he said explicitly in the name of Shmuel, I'm Rehuda, I'm Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Shimon, the Braita. The Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon of the Braita, meaning that you can be Mekiz Dam of the Bechor, and if by chance that causes a Mum, you can check the animal based on that Mum, and that's what the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, the Mishnah says, a Tzorim Ozen B'Bechor, someone who intentionally places a mum in the ear of a bechor, one of the places where you could have a mum kavua. Here we're talking about a kohen who has this bechor he's going to place it in. It's clear that this is a knas. Rabbi Elazar says you do that to the bechor, you can't check this bechor forever. We want some sort of dissuasion for the kohen so that he doesn't see any benefit in putting this mum into the ear because he has a lot of downside. There's no upside, and it's all downside for him. If he has another mum in the ear, or anywhere else in the behemoth, then he can check that. This mum itself that he created, he can't use. But another mum, he can use. So Mar says, is Rabbi Lezer l'ulam? Is Rabbi Lezer, obviously not in our mission, it's clear in our mission that he's kones the ulam. But in other places, is this consistent with Rabbi Lezer's shita, that in other places he's kones for entirety? Remini. Misha et alo beheret. No, it just happens to be that's the easiest place to do it without hurting the animal. So remini, misha et alo beheret, someone who had a negatzorat, vinik tzata, tahor. Here, if it got cut off, here's a lobe mitkavein, it got cut off, it got knocked off, whatever reason, then he remains tohor. Katzitza bim mitkavein, that's how you know the first part's not that way, is that now he cut it off intentionally. That once he gets a new nega, he'll be tohor. We'll explain that later. The Gemara is going to come back and explain his position. Unless he gets a nega on his whole body, which is one of the ways that you come tohor from the gayim, is to have a nega spread across your entire body. If it does that, whether it was tahor or it was tameh, that nega is now covered because the whole body is covered in a nega. Oh, achi tima eid beharatomi gris. Here, Rashi explains it has to be before the fact. That before he cut it off, it was less than the size of a gris, which is a size that would make you tameh. Less than the size of a gris is irrelevant in terms of negaim, because it doesn't qualify to be nega tameh. And therefore, you'd be, in those two cases, that's the only way you become tahor, according to the Chachamim. The Rabbah of Rabbi Yosef, damrei tarayu. They answer this. Kikanis Rebelezer bimamono. When Rebelezer was kones, that's only in monetary issues, he's kones lolam. But begufo, when it comes to his body, lo. He doesn't do lo kones. He's not finding him, he doesn't do that. Mimono ikalamemer da'ati lemevod. What we're worried about mimono is that he'll take a chance. It's worth it for him to take the chance to do this, because if he puts the mum in the bechor, and he comes and they say, oh, we saw you put that mum in the bechor. What's his downside? He'll have to wait for another mum. What would have been the situation had he not put the mum in there? He would have to wait for another mum anyway. So there's no downside from that. So he'll say, listen, I take the risk. It's worth the risk to put the mum in the bechor, because either they'll let me eat it because of this mum, or if they don't, I'm in the same position I was before. I have no loss here. So therefore, he says it's konis olamit to say, not worth it. I'm giving you downside here. That downside is going to prevent you from doing this. And on the other hand, gufo mikemaymar da'atu mevad, by his body it's not worth the risk, because by his body, who knows if he's going to have another beheret? I mean, who knows he's going to get another nega tzarat? He has to now wait for another nega tzarat that's going to become tahor. He doesn't know if that's ever going to happen. It's not worth the risk to him of giving up on this beheret that might become tahor. This one itself might become tahor, to take on him the risk of getting another tzarat beheret where he doesn't even know whether the status will be, whether he can become tamei, tahor. It's too risky for him, and therefore he has his own
deterrent,
negative feedback. He has his own akev, he has his own inhibitions here, because it's not worth the risk of cutting off the beheret, because if he has to get another one, he may not get it. So that's the shito of Rabbi Eliezer. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute, I'm a robo. Derebelezer kasho, derabonon, derabonon, no kasho. Okay, you explained the steer in Rabbi Elezer, but you're just implying that the Chachamim are fine. Chachamim also have the opposite shita here. That means in our Mishnah, they're saying only a knas, that you have to wait, only have to wait for the next mum. And in the Mishnah in Nigayim, they're saying you gotta wait forever, basically. You gotta wait to Farach Bakulo. How come they have a different opinion there? El the Rabbi Elezer, the Rabbi Elezer lo kasho, Rabbi Elezer, the Rabbi Elezer not kasho, because we saw from Rabbi of Rabbi Yosef, Kiddushanina. Rabbanon, the Rabbanon, Ami lo kasho, Hocha, my da Avod, Kansua. Hocha, my da Avod, Kansua. We gave him a knas on that which he did. So here, by the kavin the mishrei, what did he want to be matu here? Bahai muma, through this mum. Bahai muma kansua rabbanon, the rabbanon rakonis, this mum doesn't work. The bahai muma lo, lishtari le, it won't work for the bechor. On the other hand, by hocha, by the gufo, by the tzarat, but my the Ovid Kansua again, Ikabin Litur Nafshe, Bahai Kitsitza, he thought he would make himself tahor by cutting off this nega, Bahai Kitsitza Kansua rabbanon. So that's what they rakonis him. I mean, they were calling him directly in the action that he took that was problematic. And therefore, by the mum, it means this mum won't work. Over here, it means by this, beheret, it won't work. Now, the implications are much greater, because by the mum, you just got to wait for another mum. Over here, by the beheret, you cut it off. If he's calling him in this beheret, he's now in trouble, because he can't be mitahir this beheret anymore, unless it's parach bukulo, which is a pretty extreme solution to the problem. That's why, even though it seems like they're different shitot, it's really the same shita or consistent shita of the Rabbonon over here, just saying that we're calling him wherever he took the problematic action. So now the Gemara asks, I said we'd get back to Rabbi Eliezer Shita, Bairo Papa. In the Mishnah, when Rabbi Eliezer speaks in the Mishnah, we had it says, Katsitsa b'mitkavein, we cut it off intentionally, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, l'kishi yivaleid lo nega acher, when he has a new nega. Now here the Gemara is going to ask the question, is he saying, itaher mimenu? Then he's automatically tahor from the first one. As soon as he gets the second nega, the first one is tahor, or is there a vav there? Ve'itaher mimenu. That he will remain tamei until he's tahor from the second nega. So that's the Gemara's question here. In the Girsa of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, does he say itaher or v'yitaher? That's the question. That's Bayra Papa. Itaher tanan or v'yitaher tanan? L'may nafkamina. Why does it make a difference? In the end, he's still got to wait for the second nega. Right? So even if the first one's tohor right away, the second nega is not tohor from. So mimad of shach is going to be tamei until the second nega goes away. So is there any nafkamina? Where it says, yes, l'chatan shenira bo nega. This is something maybe familiar from the Gemara in Ketubot, Mishnayot in Nigaim, it's also in Moed Katan, l'gabei regel, which is chatan shenira bo nega. Name lo zayin yamei yamim, or zayin yamei mishte lo, let's delay to, l'ksuto, l'chein v'regel, nodim lo ko yamei regel. When it comes to a chatan, or it comes to one of the regalim, we know that the din with regards to tzarat, or with regards to a nega is, it's not tamei until the kohen sees it. When the kohen sees it, that's only when it becomes tamei. So what we do is, we say to the kohen, please don't go see this individual until he's finished with his sheva brachot. Don't go see this individual until the regal is over, because then he won't become tamei. So we give the chatan the 7 days of ishte, meaning the 7 days of his sheva brachot for him. Let's tilit toes for his talit, uluksuto is for his clothing, for his outer garments, for his inner garments. We don't deal with him because we don't want to ruin his sheva brachot. Afterwards, then we'll deal with him. And the same thing on the regel. Iamart itaher tanan. If you say itaher means that it's tohor right away, mikamaita itaher le, lebraitraita natrin le zan yemei mishteh. Then it works. The first one now is tohor. The first one that he cut off is now tohor because it became tohor right away. The second one we postpone dealing with until after the sheva brachot, or after the regel. Eliyat mar viitaher tanan. If you say v'yitar, means that then he'll become, after he gets the second nega, and it becomes tohor, he'll become tohor from both, then you have a problem. So, kilo mitami yele batraita. Okay, we'll say we'll postpone looking at the second nega. But that doesn't help you. Ha, mitame v'kaya mikamaita. He's still already tamei from the first one.
Why do we say he's tamei from the first one? But we really have to make sure that the second one really counts.
He's tamei all the way along. Until he gets the second one, that's what could be mitayarim. But he's always tamei. The whole point is that he's tamei until this point. Either he's tohor right away, or he's tohor after the second one, but he's tamei all the way along. So since he's already tamei from the first nega, then the second nega, being postponed to the second nega, has no benefit to him. So that's the nafkamina here. The nafkamina is the zayin yamei mishteh, or does the regel help him at all? Because the postponement to the second nega will only help if the first nega is gone. But if you say the first nega has to also wait till the end of the second nega, you don't help him out. Mai, what's the din tekel? Mai leaves it as unresolved here. So by minei, Rabbi Yirmiyah, mi Rabbi Zeirut. Tzorim ozen bebechor umet. And then he dies, not the animal, he dies, the person who did this. Maulik knows b'no acharav. Does the knas apply to his son that comes after him? His son now inherits this bechor. Can he use this mum that his father put into the bechor? Does he have to wait for another mum? The knas, the chachamim placed on him to wait on these mumim. What's that knas? Is the knas on him, or is it on the mamon? Is it on the bechor itself? Imtim Salomar. So now the Gemara is going to go through a number of these cases where we've asked this question, other places in Shas, and give the conclusion in those places, then come back to Bechor. The number one is Imtim Salomar, Bechor Abdullah Abdei Kochavim, someone who sold his Eved to non-Jews, Umeit, and he dies, Kansu Bno Acharav. They forced his son to redeem the Eved. Because as long as the Eved is in the hands of the Abdei Kochavim, he's not going to be able to perform the mitzvot. This person is still suffering at the hands of the Ovdei Chachamim, not being able to do mitzvot. And because of that, we say to the son, you have the same obligation to redeem as your father did. Because if we don't put the obligation on the son, who is going to redeem this individual? They're going to be stuck there.
Maybe there was a special case.
Right. The Gemara is saying we have a conclusion there, but we know why the conclusion is there, because he's mafkia midei mitzvot. The Gemara is just giving you all these different perspectives, and then he's going to ask on Bechor again, you'll see. So he says, Imtim Salam Martivan Malachto Vimoed. Umeit, what happens? He says, listen, I have to take care of my vineyard before Yom Tov. But you know what? Cholamoed, Davar Aved, I can do it on Cholamoed. I'm not gonna do it before Yom Tov. That's called Mikavein Malachto Vimoed. He postpones doing the work until Cholamoed, because then it'll be a Davar Aved. So there were Konisim that he's not allowed to do it, because he could have done it beforehand. Umeit, he dies. Lo Kansu Bino Acharav. They did where they are, they're not Konis Bino Acharav. Mishom, Dolo Abdali Surah. He wasn't the one who did the Isur. He wasn't the one who was Mikavi Malachto to the Moed. When we look at the son, we just see Dover Aved, and he needs to deal with the Dover Aved. Was he the one who made it a Dover Aved here? No. It wasn't his doing that made it there. So therefore we matir him. Hachamai. So now here we ask the same thing. Lididei kansu rabbanan valete. The knas was on him, and he's gone. The same way that is by Moed. Oh, dimmel mamone kanso. Force is, we put his money on the line here, but the mamone means the bechor over there by the Eved, that his money is Mushubad to be redeemed this Eved. So therefore, Kansu Rabban and Vayite. And the Mamon's still here, the Bechor is still here. Which one is it? Samalei Tinitua. We have a Mishnah that deals with this. Sodesh and Nitkabza, a field that was cleared. Here it's weeding the field, but we're taking off weeds and thorns that are not attached. It's clearing the field. Bishvi'it. But he did it on Shanat Shvi'it, when you're not allowed to do work on the karka. Tizra the Motzei Shvi'it. That you can plant on Motzei Shvi'it. The reason is because Nitkabza is not a real Malachata karka. It wasn't Mechubar. So it wasn't something that's real. It's something that we don't allow on Shvi'it, but Din Derabanan. But it's nothing, something that's avoda, significant avoda, that we would say to you, knas, that you can't do it Motzei Shvi'it. On the other hand, nitaivo, but nidairo, if he did tiv or deer, then lo tizra the Motzei Shvi'it. What are those? Rashi claims nitaivo is that he trucked in fertilizer to the field, and he poured it out over the field of fertilizer. So Rashi learns it. Tosvot quotes the Yushalmi that says that he plows two times. Everybody else plows once, and he goes in and plants a second time for whatever reason. I don't know if they had a... Sometimes they allow the Chachamim in Shvi talk about the fact that they were matir, the people, to plow the fields once because of the malchut that they forced them to pay on the fields, and therefore they allowed them to plow so that it would grow. Whatever the reason, they had a dispensation, they plowed once. He goes ahead and plows an extra time during Shvi. He does something more that's significant work on the land. According to Rashi, is that he's trucking in fertilizer. For the Tosafot, he plowed the land. He plowed it an extra time. The other one is Nidaira. Nidaira comes from deer. Deer Shabemot is a corral of animals. Is that they actually corral the animals on the field so that the animals will fertilize the field. He moves the corral around. He puts a corral over here. They fertilize the field. Then he shifts the corral to another spot on his field. And they keep fertilizing the field by the fact that they are corralled on his field. So if you do either of those which are significant of Odot and Shvi'it, Lo tizara ala Motzei Shvi'it. You're not allowed to plant on Motzei Shvi'it. That's a knas. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Naktina, Netiva, Umeit, Beno Zorah. If he did this hatava, and then he dies, his child's allowed to plant the field. Almo, there you conclude, the Didei Kansu Rabbanon, the Breilo Kansu Rabbanon. They were Kones to him, and not his child. Even though here we're dealing with Mamamo. He will benefit from it, but the Mamon's here, the father's not here, but the Mamon is here. We're saying, why should we punish him? He didn't do the bad act, he didn't do the Isur. He has the field. The field is his Mamon, he needs to plant. So over there we allow him to do that. So Merbaye, Naktina, and we have something similar as well. Timei tarot umeit. A person went ahead and was mitamei the tarot of his friend, which is something called chezek she'enu nikar. Hezek she'enu nikar lo kansu b'no acharav. If he dies, we don't force his son to pay for it. My time on. What's the reason? Hezek she'enu nikar lo shmehezek. If it's hezek she'enu nikar, hezek that doesn't have any physical manifestation is not called hezek. Over here, you were mitamei. This is a spiritual problem. He caused tum'ah to be a part of this person's taharot. So, yes, he damaged them, but we can't see any manifestation of the damage. It's all that we know, that the items are tamei now. So that's a concept of Rabbanan to start with. That's a knas de Rabbanan, because hezek she'enu nikar lo shme hezek, and therefore, mido raito, there's no chiyuv here. It's not something we can be obligated him to pay for. The chamim, nevertheless, were konis him, so people don't go around being metame the tarot to their friends, because they can cause a lot of losses to their friends, so they were konis them. Then the Gemara says about that, because that's the din de Rabbanan, the day kanso Rabbanan, libre lo kanso Rabbanan. They were konis him, and not his son. Because the knas, which is the knas de Rabbanan, they were only kones with regards to him, but not to his son. So that's the question over here. When we're dealing with the Shvi'it, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about a knas de Rabbanon, or are we talking about a knas de Oraita? Because by Bechor, we're talking about an issue de Oraita. Over there, by Timei Tarotav, we're dealing with a din de Rabbanon. It's completely a din de Rabbanon now. Because the thing is Tamei, the Hezek Sheinukar is nothing, and now you're dealing with a din de Rabbanon. Over here, by Bechor, if you let him eat the Bechor, we're dealing with a din de Oraita. And so the question is, by Shvi'it, is the problem here a din de Rabbanon, or is a problem a din de Oraita? If you say the problem is only a din de Rabbanon, then how do we learn from Shvi'it over to Bechor? And that's what Tosfot deals with over here. See, Tosfot, Haitiva umeit b'no v'zara, the last Tosfot, and I'm a darma bet. Im hai tiyuv mi de Rabbanon, if this tiyuv is only de Rabbanon, kasha, eichi poshit tzorei mozen Bechor de Oraita. How do we answer about de Oraita from, so that's only a din de Rabbanon b'Shvi'it? V'im hu nami de Oraita, if it is the right to kasha begitin, the pasha b'nei, gaber eved. So here, if you say it's a din de Rabbanon, how do we learn out Bechor, which is the oraita? If you say it's the oraita, then how do we learn out a din of eved in the gitin? Shani hocha, the chamir, mishum, the mifkalei, mi mitzvot. Why don't you say something by eved ivri? You can say it's different. Yesh lomar, the kasavar, shira'ui, la hachmir, b'shvit, yoter mikulam. Even if it's the oraita, even if it's the Rabbanon, it's not comparable to anything else, because shvi'it, they were more chamor. They see shvi'it as being something beyond. So he says, kamakasha, avakasha, shvi'it. That even whether it's the Rabbanon or it's the Oraita, Shvi'it has its own status. And therefore, it's much more chamur. And if we're matir in the face of Shvi'it, then we're going to be willing to be matir by Bechor, we're going to be willing to matir by Eved Ivri. All the other mitigating factors that you would have placed in here, we're not going to consider because Shvi'it is the most chamur. And if we're already matir by Shvi'it, then we can be matir by Bechor, we can be matir by Eved Ivri, whatever other things you want to compare, that's fine. And therefore, the real limud here is out of Shvi'it, not out of Timei Te'arotav, because Timei Te'arotav is only Din De'Rabbanan. And in the Din De'Rabbanan, we can't compare it to the Din of Bechor, which is the Din D'Oraita. All right, we'll stop over here.